here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Maddie Johnson, an editor here at Zach's, and joining me today is Ben Rains, one of our associate stock strategists and host of another Zach's podcast called Full Court Finance. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Maddie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thanks for filling in. Ryan's out of town, so I'm glad that you could join me.
Yeah, so today is Friday, June 29th. We're almost near that 4th of July holiday, which
we're
is now
so close.
Falling on a Wednesday, which is a real bummer, but we'll make it work.
Yeah.
So we're going to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world, and there's a lot to talk about, so let's...
Yeah, this past week was really busy. Yeah. I can't believe it. But Bennett, so Ben and I are really big Westworld fans, and the past week, every Monday, we've always discussed the latest episode. So while I wish that we could discuss last week's finale, we can't. We won't. Even though I can't believe, so our audio editor is shaking his head, and I can't believe you haven't watched the episode yet, or even haven't caught up. I can't believe you haven't binged it yet. We won't discuss it. We won't spoil it. It's amazing. Mind-boggling, too. But this week was literally a nonstop stampede of headlines. I can't keep up with them. So from the huge developments in Washington as Justice Anthony Kennedy announced his retirement and the markets to the market's big tech sell-off earlier in the week, the news has refused to slow down ahead of what Ben said was the July 4th holiday next week. But in the middle of everything was Nike's latest quarterly earnings. Ben, so can you fill us in on what happened?
Yes, I certainly can. This has been a big quarter, or people have been anticipating this quarter for Nike because the last three quarters, so this is their fiscal fourth quarter of 2018. The last three quarters, North American sales have been down every quarter, which is not good because that's their biggest market. It's their home territory, and they're down, it takes up 40% of their total revenue. But investors should be happy because North American sales were up 3%.
Nice.
So they, Mark Parker, the CEO, was calling for flat sales about a month ago. So 3%,
nice,
very
big,
good there.
Nice big bump.
They posted adjusted earnings of 69 cents per share, which beat our Zach's consensus estimate. Can never say that. All together in a row. Of 64 cents per share, so a solid beat there. And then they beat revenues with $9.79 billion, which was above ours of $9.39 billion. Sorry, I'm jumbling up my billions and nines here. But the basic premise here, revenues have been up these past three quarters, but the problem was that North America was down. So they're back up, and this has slowly been a push into direct consumer because everyone knows that's kind of where consumer shopping is trending. It's online, and Nike has spent a lot to get more towards this online shopping experience because less and less people are going to Dick's Sporting Goods and Finish Line and Foot Locker, which is where they had made a lot of money in years past. But now their goal is just Nike apps, different Nike shoes apps, these exclusive releases, and it slowly seemed to be paying off. And another big thing is that they are doing really well internationally. Greater China sales were up 35%. Let me pull this up real fast. So, yeah, Greater China sales up 35%. Europe, Middle East, and Africa up 24% to $2.5 billion. So that's about 25% of their business right there. And then their other market, which they consider Asia Pacific and Latin America, was up 12%.
Really impressive.
So they're doing really well everywhere in the U.S., North America, bounce back. So really good things for Nike. Investors should be happy, and the company is certainly happy that they're back on track.
Yeah. And after hours trading yesterday, I think the stock was up around 6%. So investors were really liking the report. And I'm glad to see that Nike is doing well. I'm personally like the brand. I'm always like torn between, do I buy Nike? Do I buy Adidas when I'm looking for new running shoes or just new like fashion street shoes? I have both. I have like, I have so many sneakers in my closet, and it's usually a combination of Nike and Adidas. So I'm glad that Nike is pulling or bouncing back a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I myself, I don't think I've bought a non-Nike pair of sneakers / tennis shoes in about 10 years. So I'm Nike through and through. But I don't really wear anything else Nike besides tennis shoes. Not that I wear a lot of other athletic gear. But the big thing, and this is something we've discussed at length before, is that sportswear is going towards this athleisure / entertainment value where you have companies like Lululemon and Adidas, like you said, and now even Puma are trying to make this off the court, off the field push, which has worked to a large extent. And that's why you have companies like Under Armour, who had been the next darling of sportswear, kind of seeing their stock's actually up big recently because it had just tanked, but they're having a really hard time cultivating this coolness off the court. I mean,
well, it's almost like finding that connection with the consumer. I mean, they're the one with the Rock, the Rock Johnson shoe, right?
Yeah.
So like, everyone loves the Rock, right? Yeah. But you know, Nike especially has always been really good at forming that consumer connection year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. It's the Swoop, right? Everyone knows what the Swoop means.
Yeah.
So that's great. But moving on to a company that I love, Spotify, that I use every day. That's how I listen to my music. Ben, you're a Spotify user, right?
All day, every day.
I was an Apple Music user for a hot second when a new Drake album dropped like 2 albums ago. It was like 2 Drake albums ago. I think he only released it on Apple Music. I don't know the ins and outs of partnerships.
Right.
And I was like, all right, signing up for that 3-month free trial just to listen to it. But anyways, now I'm just solely a Spotify Music user. So shares with Spotify. So they IPO'd recently and they've climbed about 16% since they entered the public market and public trading. And they have a lot of interesting, ambitious media goals, if you will, from video, especially video, but just like, how do they become more than just, or how do they become known for just streaming music? How do they become a Universal or a Warner? So they just appointed Dawn Ostroff as its new chief content officer, and she will lead all aspects of Spotify's content partnerships across music, audio, and video. And she has actually a long media history working at Condé Nast, and that's the publishing group for Vogue, and I think
GQ
and Variety, I think.
Maybe? The New Yorker.
Okay.
A lot of other places. Yeah.
Also, she also worked as the top executive at the CW and UPN networks, developing popular TV series, including Gossip Girl and The Vampire Diaries, which I've watched the entirety of The Vampire Diaries. If anyone has not, I encourage you to do so. It's on Netflix, the entire series. It's very bingeable. Clearly, it's about vampires and teenagers and weird stuff like supernatural things. Gossip Girl is another good one as well. But this big news as the hiring decision, it comes about 3 years after Spotify promised a significant move into video. And today, Spotify's video offerings, they mostly revolve around music-based content. So I didn't actually know Spotify did video, even though they announced the decision like 3 years ago.
And therein lies the problem.
Right. Therein lies the problem that I didn't know. So, or really anyone. So I guess I did notice the video tab on the app. So if you open the app and you go to browse, you'll see like charts, new releases, videos. I never even thought to just like browse through that. So if you do open it, And it's almost like a YouTube setup, right? So you like the scroll and it's like video for like their most popular playlist, Rap Caviar, Viva Latino, Rise, Hot Country. And you can just look through it and have all these like really cool video experiences. A lot of it's video, music videos, and behind the scenes type shows. I know we were looking at it yesterday and it's lengthy videos, like two, 3 minute videos. That's a lot of production time as well.
Yeah. And it's strange because I didn't know, like you said, I have been a Spotify user for a while and I think I knew they had video in some sense that there were, you were able to watch short videos on their platform, but I have never watched any videos in their platform until yesterday. But a couple of years ago, they rolled out these short kind of Snapchat-esque videos from The Daily Show and ESPN, but that seems to have completely dropped off the map. So I don't know exactly what the story is there. But I think this new push, what I at least would expect them to try to do is something a little bit more substantial than these kind of, like you said, behind the music, where how did you come up with this beat or this song? I mean, there's only so much value you can get out of that.
And don't get me wrong, I loved Behind the Music because that was originally from VH1, right?
Correct.
That was a great show, like back in 2002. But like, make that, make it what people liked about that and put it on Spotify or something.
Yeah. So this is totally speculative, but my hope is that the new content chief they hired will do a push into something that I know you've watched before, is the more lengthy documentary thing they did on Netflix with, why am I completely blanking on her name? The huge Lady Gaga.
Oh, something 5 foot two. That's a fantastic music documentary.
Something like that, where there's real value and people really want to watch something that's taken months to film and months to put together, not something that's 8 minutes long that was shot in 20 minutes and put together. There's something real there. They need to have more than just music and podcasts, because I know I've written about it at length that for all the talk that Spotify is going to be Netflix now makes all of its own content for the most part, or at least they spend billions of dollars to produce their own stuff. They own it. Mm-hmm. They don't have to pay anybody for it. Spotify has to pay these big record labels huge royalties for all of the music. And I don't really know how that's going to change unless, like, do you see, how does Spotify become its own record label like Netflix became its own TV studio?
Yeah.
And I think that's what more investors and certainly the company needs to figure out going forward.
Right. Especially if it's going to be like a long lasting business and a long lasting company that will satisfy its shareholders.
Yeah.
And not just become it, you know, to become more than just your go-to streaming music.
Exactly. And platform. Especially like you mentioned off the top that you have used Apple Music. Apple has billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're in the same exact business as Spotify, offering pretty much the exact same service for the same price, and they can afford to pay these royalty fees. Same with Amazon Music. Mm-hmm. Even now, YouTube Music is doing the same thing. So Spotify is going to have a little tougher road than I think a lot of people assume.
Yeah. They're still the number one.
Yeah. By far.
By far. But that can only get them so far. But so moving on to our final story of the week, talking about Amazon again. I was talking about Amazon.
Yeah, right.
But on Thursday, shares of pharmacy giants CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens Boots Alliance, those tickers are CVS, RAD, and WBA, they all plummeted in morning trading on Thursday after Amazon announced its purchase of online pharmacy delivery startup PillPack. So under the terms of the deal, Amazon will acquire PillPack for $1 billion in cash, and this deal is expected to close in the second half of this year. So PillPack launched only 5 years ago and ships pre-sorted medications by the dose to patients on a monthly basis. It is a full-service pharmacy and works mostly with customers who take multiple daily prescriptions and coordinates refills and renewals with doctors and customers. The startup said that it ships everywhere in the U.S. except Hawaii, and PillPack has raised about $110 million in venture capital funding so far, and its co-founder and CEO, TJ Parker, said last fall that the company had tens of thousands of customers and was set for more than $100 million in annual revenue. Like, that's pretty impressive.
It is, and I think that you saw these pharmacy stocks tank Thursday morning because people are worried that Amazon's now just going to be able to sell this business on a massive scale, which would be scary.
Yeah.
which would really scare CVS and Rite Aid and Walgreens. But it's interesting because, I mean, the numbers, the vague numbers the CEO provided are tens of thousands. I mean, CVS and Walgreens have millions of customers. So it's on a way different scale now. So we'll have to see exactly how that works. And not sadly, I don't know enough about it, even though my dad is a pharmacist and I should probably know more of how the business side of it works. I don't know exactly how Amazon would go about, I don't want to say stealing these customers, but they're eventually going to have to acquire more and more customers. And it most often means grabbing them from somebody else. So you have to work with these big pharmacy benefit managers, and it's a whole complicated system. But Amazon is quietly lobbying Washington like crazy, so I'm sure they can get a lot of stuff done if they really want to.
Yeah. And I guess, well, it was kind of funny that Walgreens executives were in the middle of a call with analysts when Amazon announced its PillPack deal, and their CEO, Stefano Pessina, said his company is, quote, not particularly worried about the e-commerce giant's newest acquisition. He went on to say that, quote, the pharmacy world is much more complex, that's kind of what you were alluding to, than just delivering certain pills or packages. I strongly believe that the role of the physical pharmacy will continue to be very, very important in the future, unquote. He makes a good point, right? So these physical pharmacies, and pharmacists, I feel like have always been known as like the poor man's doctor. So if you go in, you have like a really bad cold, you can go to the pharmacist and be like, I feel awful. I have a cough. I have a fever. What do I do? And they can recommend a certain medication for you to buy right off the bat. And you don't necessarily have to go to the doctor, wait for an appointment, get in there and walk out with like $1,000 doctor bill. You can get in and out with a $25 medication and hopefully get better. That's not the case for everyone, but for many people, pharmacists do a ton of work for them, and they help out a lot.
Exactly. And another point, well, and going back to the Walgreens call, that is funny. And I mean, what is the CEO going to say? What is he going to say? Oh no, we're in big trouble.
My God. You're right.
But, all these people, about a year ago, almost within a couple weeks of it, Amazon bought Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. Everyone was worried that Kroger and Costco and Target were all just going to lose all of this
Walmart.
But instead, all of these companies just said, we have to change what we're doing and just do delivery and partner with these startups. And so I think that if anything, and now I think more grocery consumers are better off than they were a year ago because of the Amazon Whole Foods purchase, because maybe these companies like Kroger and Walmart wouldn't have offered this quick delivery or same day pickup and revamp their e-commerce.
Organic products, yeah, exactly. Stuff like that.
So I think that maybe, or what you would hope at least for people who have to buy a lot of medicine and consumers in general, is that Amazon doesn't then just crush the competition here, in that it ends up creating these other companies. Because, I mean, CVS and Walgreens have been around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and CVS also is just had that huge deal with Aetna too.
Yeah.
So I mean, you have a huge pharmacy, you have a huge insurer. They're already going to create like a partnership that is going to create its own little healthcare island, if you will. You can get your prescriptions and you can get insurance help or whatever in a CVS down the line. But yeah, I'm on the same page as you. Like, but again, like, this isn't Amazon's first, like, we're gonna change the healthcare world. It's like, so rumors have been swirling for a while. Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, Warren Buffett, and Jamie Dimon, they announced that Dr. Atul Gawande, please forgive me if I completely butcher that name, he will be CEO of their collaborative healthcare venture that will tackle rising healthcare costs. As vague as that is, like, this could be also a really big deal. That's not particular. I don't know if that's particularly Amazon or just Jeff Bezos, like, wanting to get in there as like a philanthropist or a visionary, quote unquote. But this is not, this PillPack acquisition is like one of many steps, small steps of Amazon, like, getting closer and closer of like, oh, we're going to start selling prescriptions, or you can get your prescriptions on Amazon.com.
Yeah. And I mean, also $1 billion for Amazon is practically nothing at all. So this for them is a way to experiment, see if it works. Hopefully it benefits everyone. But then I also just want to mention, because we were talking about that, what the grocery stores did when Amazon bought Whole Foods, CVS recently partnered, I think just last week or a couple weeks ago, with the U.S. Postal Service to offer delivery within a couple days. And Walgreens is also already ramping up its delivery options. So we do have these companies who are taking after the model of Amazon in this new age of,
there you go,
of shopping already.
Yeah. All right. Well, that about does it. So thank you, Ben, for filling in and talking with me today about these really cool topics.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And as a reminder, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. And if you feel like especially if you feel like we miss anything, or if you want us to cover a different story in an upcoming episode, also remember you can check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcast. Subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcast. You can also find us on Spotify. Just search Zacks Investment Research. Google actually just launched a new podcast app as well, so check us out there. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.